Have you been vexed by Satan lately? This almost sounds like an advertisement. Have you been vexed by Satan lately? Have you been irritated by the Prince of Darkness? Has the mastermind of all malevolence been screwing up your life? Well, help is on its way. Hi, this is Martin Zender, and all right, enough of that. This is Martin Zender, though, and I'm at my sister's house in Canton, Ohio, and the lighting here is what it is, but things are going to be big time reversed with the Prince of Darkness. The tables will soon be turned. This situation is going to be reversed because of a verse I shared with you yesterday in my newsletter. It's Romans 16, verse 20. This is an amazing statement. I really didn't appreciate the import of this. I didn't realize how great this verse was, how wild it was. Until yesterday. I mean, I've read it for 40 years, but listen to this. Now the God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet swiftly. The grace of our Lord Jesus be with you. The God of peace. It's strange to see the word peace and the word crush in the same sentence. Ah, but we're looking at two different parties here. The peace is yours. The crushing is Satan's. And this is a God who wants us to be at peace now. And this word itself, this verse, the information that I'm going to relay to you, that I am relaying to you, will give you peace concerning what's happening to you right now. And it'll help you realize why Satan is disturbed by you, why Satan hates you, why Satan is trying to get you. But remember, God is keeping everything from Satan away from you, except the little dribs and drabs of evil that you need to perfect you, to sand you off, to make you worthy, to suffer evil for the sake of the evangel. God is using Satan to your advantage. Now that drives him crazy. But here's another thing that drives him crazy, is we are going to displace Satan in the celestial world. Satan is now in heaven. Isn't that interesting? Many Christians think that Satan is in hell and that he's down there warming up the cauldron, stirring the cauldron and stoking the fires, getting them ready for all the evil sinners that will be coming down there. No, he's actually a spiritual being in heaven because he is not cast out of heaven until later in the book of Revelation, probably around the 3.5 year mark of the last 7 years. And so, this is what bothers the heck out of him. He knows that we are destined to rule and to reign over him. The body of Christ will be seated at the right hand of God among the celestials. I'm not saying that Satan is now at the right hand of God, but God has given him a long leash. He's not at his right hand. He's not at his left hand either, but he's over on the left side somewhere. He's on the evil side. We know that God created both good and evil. God does both good and evil. He uses an intermediary for evil, and that is Satan. But Satan is running amok, relatively speaking. He's not running amok freely. Satan doesn't have a free will any more than you and I have free wills. And he doesn't realize he's being used. Just like you don't feel the compulsion of God every minute upon your life, Satan doesn't either. He doesn't realize that minute by minute, he's doing exactly what God wants him to do. He's ignorant of that. We're more aware of how God uses us than he is of how God uses him. He doesn't spend a lot of time reading scripture or thinking about God. But he senses, we know that when he's cast on the earth, it says he knows his time is short. So if he's aware of his time then, why wouldn't he be aware of it now? It's just not as short. See, Satan realizes now that his time is not as short. But I think he knows something is up down here with the body of Christ. He knows that we are being groomed to take his place. We are being groomed. And some people think that when Satan is cast out of heaven, that that's an indication of when we are coming into the celestial world. Why is Satan cast out? Is there a timing thing where we're being snatched away at the same time Satan's coming down? That could be. A lot of you won't want to hear that because that means that the snatching away does not occur until the middle of the last 7 years, which according to the 6,000-year plan of God would be 2024. This is 2018. We're looking at 6 more years of a sludge down here. But that's not necessarily true. As you know, I teach that the snatching away could occur. I used to say 5 minutes from now, but I upgraded it. I shortened the time because God says he shortens the time or else no one would survive. And Paul says in Ephesians 4:1, become imitators of God. So I shortened the time. I say we're going to be snatched away 2.5 minutes from now. I'm trying to be godlike in this way, and I'm succeeding. God, the God of peace, will be crushing Satan under your feet, under our feet. The grace of the Lord Jesus be with you. Here's my question to you. If you read the newsletter yesterday, you already know what my question's going to be. And you already know I have the answer. When is this going to happen? When is Satan going to be crushed under our feet? Didn't Christ crush Satan at the cross? Well, this is what Christ did. It was a promissory death blow. It was a guarantee that Satan's kingdom was kaput. It was kaput in fact, but not yet in act. He was convicted, but not yet sentenced. So he's like, I've used this analogy before, chicken with its head cut off. The vital connection of the life of Satan has been severed. And he knows he's done. But that darn little chicken body keeps running around the barnyard. But it's not doing this because the head's over here. And the body's over here. But Satan's gone crazy now. And he knows his time is coming to a close. And I think he knows that we are destined to take his place. But Satan is going to be crushed underneath our feet. So I looked into the scripture and I asked myself, it's first a difficult thing to believe a verse as amazing as this, that something is going to happen with us under our feet. It doesn't say Satan's going to be crushed under God's feet. Doesn't say Satan's going to be crushed under Jesus Christ's feet. It says God will crush Satan under your feet. The next time that Satan's going to have a bad, really bad day is in the book of Revelation chapter 20, when a messenger comes down from heaven and binds Satan. That's his worst day since his creation. Since his creation, he has never suffered a binding like this. He has never known a limit. Well, he has known a limit. Let me say it a different way. He has never known confinement like this. Not only is he going to be bound by a messenger, but he's going to be put into the submerged chaos. This is somewhere in New Jersey, suburb of Newark, in fact. Actually, it's somewhere in the earth, literally in the earth. You see, and demonic spiritual beings don't like water. They don't like darkness. So they're really going to be screwed up down there. There's water under the earth. Who knows what else is under there? But anyway, Satan's going to be bound for 1,000 years. Do you realize how great life's going to be on earth when Satan's not around? I blame Satan for a lot of stuff in this article. Now, this is all relative, of course. All trouble is caused, relatively speaking, by Satan. Satan is the reason that every inhabitant of earth is now dying, because he deceived our forebears, our progenitors, namely Eve, was tricked by him, and because of him, we're all dying. Dying stinks, literally. Okay? Everybody starts looking bad as they get older, except for me. I keep getting better looking. I don't know how it happens. But everybody's dying because of Satan. And Satan is why there are selfish people in the world, and murderers, and adulterers, and thieves. Satan is why there are child molesters, and terrorists, and rapists. Satan is why there is war. So he's been a real pain in the ass. But his career will be arrested swiftly. Ooh, Paul talks about Satan being crushed underneath us swiftly. It doesn't mean soonly. It doesn't mean it's going to happen soon. Although when Paul wrote it, it wasn't soon. As I'm talking to you today, it is soon. The God of peace will be crushing Satan under your feet swiftly. Now, when the messenger comes down from heaven in Revelation 20, it's so strange that it says, and the messenger comes down from heaven and binds Satan. And we don't have any record of a wrestling match. We don't have any record of resistance. We don't have a siege upon Satan's kingdom. Satan doesn't have a castle with a moat. And we don't read that the messenger has a war room with a map on the wall, trying to figure out how to scale the ramparts of Satan's kingdom. And there's no, it's not a 6-day war. It's not a 7-day war. It's not an 8-day war. It's not a 10-year war. Sounds like it's not a war at all. Messenger just says, okay, your time's up. Locked up. And that begs the question, of course, if you're a nominal Christian, why didn't God just bind Satan in the Garden of Eden before he caused all this problem in the first place, if it's so easy? That's actually a great question, actually. And the question answers itself. Yeah, why didn't he? Because he didn't want to. Because he needed Satan. But my point in this article is that if God is going to crush Satan underneath us, and if the next thing we find out, the next bad day Satan's going to have is when he's bound by a messenger, could it be that we are the agents? Because we will already be in heaven by the time Satan's bound. That doesn't happen until Revelation chapter 20. That happens at the end of the millennium. The end of this current eon. Satan is bound for 1,000 years. So Satan is bound at the end of this eon. We're snatched away before that. It's at least 3.5 years before the binding of Satan, because he does his most diabolical work during the last 3.5 years of the last 7 years of the tribulation. So we're already in heaven, and we have the mind of Christ then. We're actually in Christed. We're part of the body of Christ, and as immortal beings made into sons of God, we have all the authority of Christ. Christ delegates us. He gives us his authority. That when we speak, we're speaking for him. Our word is his word. Don't be shocked at that. I know it sounds incredible, but Jesus said to Peter, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you bind in heaven will be, yeah, whatever. That's what he said. In other words, Peter's word was as good as Christ's word would be. Well, Peter did exercise that power a little bit while he was still alive, but he's going to really exercise it in the kingdom. Jesus Christ doesn't have to show up personally anywhere. This is what people stumble at. They say, well, Jesus is in heaven. He's the head of the body. But how can he be on earth too if he's going to be a chief priest? You don't understand. He can be a chief priest on earth working through King David. It can be said, Christ rules in Jerusalem. Well, how can that be? I just saw David ruling in Jerusalem. Same deal. If you've heard David, you've heard Christ. So it's going to be that way with us among the celestials. If you've heard us, if the order comes from on high, it very well comes through us, the body of Christ. We're just not going to be floating around, folks. We're just not going to be basking in the favor of God. We do that now. No, but we're going to have authority and power. So my point here is in Revelation 20, could it be that, oh, by the way, the messenger that comes down, this messenger didn't just decide someday, I think I'm going to go bind Satan. No, messengers are the lowest form of spiritual life. They're called angels. Everybody wants to see an angel. Oh. I don't want to see the angels are the lowest form. They're the coffee getters. They're the errand boys. They're the pages. They're the bellhops, okay? No angel decides to do anything. The messenger that comes down is following a direct command from who? I say from us. Because Paul says Satan's going to crush Paul says that God's going to crush Satan under our feet. Satan is truly crushed when he's bound. His ego's crushed. His poor little enthusiasm for continuing is crushed. It's not like he's crushed like an eggshell, literally. I think this is a figurative of crushing. Satan's crushing. He's going to be crushed emotionally. It's going to be a bad day. And that's going to happen under our feet, under our jurisdiction, under our direct orders. Now, the orders come from on high. It comes through God, then it comes through Christ, then it comes, well, I don't even need to say anymore. God, Christ, and it comes down to the messenger. Because you have to understand this. We will be called Christ. Do you understand that? When we're changed, we're going to be called Christ. Christ is a title. We are going to be Christ's. There's only one Jesus Christ. There's only one firstborn Son of God. But we're also called sons of God, aren't we? Yes. He brings many sons to glory. So just as we are also sons, there's the firstborn Son. There will also be Christ's. He's Jesus Christ. We also shall be Christ. And at our word, the messenger comes down, and Satan is therefore crushed under our feet. What do you think about that? Should help you get up in the morning.